Yeah, go ahead, Brother Lonnie. Yeah, I'm thankful. I am extremely grateful for my Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for Brother Langston. I'm going to testify just a little bit to begin with. I'm thankful for what I feel, what I felt earlier, what I felt on the way up here, and what I felt since I've been here. I thank the Lord. But it's been, I want all y'all to wish me a big happy birthday. I'm a 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday. Today is 27 years since the good Lord came down over there on Highway 51 and poured out the good, sweet Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, cleaned me up of all the sin that was in my life, wrote my name in that book that no man has access to, that only the good Lord can write our name in. Today, April 25th, 1994, the good Lord baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful for his goodness to me. Thankful for the mercy and for the grace that he's had on me throughout the learning that I've had to do and through the stubbornness that I've been. But I'm thankful that he's held on to me and that he loves me. And I'm thankful, so thankful for what he lets us feel. When I left here the other day, on Wednesday night, Brother Lonnie, I talked to him, I guess, the next day, and he said, you think you might come back Sunday? And I said, no. I said, no, I don't plan on it. I said, my plan is to, and you know, if I'm being completely transparent, I'd have kind of wanted to stay home with my wife and kids and slept a little bit later today and not come up here. But Sister Sharon, the Lord put it on my heart. And he let me know. I asked. And he said, go. And I had to ask again because I said, Lord, are you sure? Because I want to stay home. And he said, go. And so I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt today, I know. There's a song that they would sing a little while back, and it says, I came on business for the King. Brother Eric, I know that I came today, and I believe that every child of God that is here today came today on business for our King.
God bless you.
And that God has a plan for each and every one of us being here. Sister, I was glad to see you when you came in. He has a plan for every one of us and why we're here today. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost and that I said I would rather be at home, but after I found out that this is where the Lord wanted me today, Brother Lonnie, ain't nowhere else I'd rather be. Wherever it is, if it's under a brush arbor out there in Alabama somewhere, or if he sends me overseas somewhere to preach the gospel, wherever God sends me, that's where I want to be. I want to be found being obedient to the person that I serve. I serve a loving Savior. I serve a loving God who is never, ever, ever, Sister Sharon, never, glory to God, never has he done me any wrong. Never has he done me wrong. Never has he let me down. He's always been there, and he said he'll go with me all the way, even unto the end. Never has he been bad for me. And that's who I serve. I'm going to read, Lord willing, I may bounce around several different places today, but what I want to talk to you about and what the Lord has put on my heart today is more for those of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost. And I just want to bring some things back to your remembrance. Because listen, that power of the Lord, that was on the day of Pentecost is the same power of the Lord that we feel right here today. Brother Langston, I was standing right back here and I had my eyes closed and we were singing that song and I was having trouble getting my mind free and feeling the Lord. And I had my eyes closed and the next thing, I started feeling the Lord, so I got a little bit closer right over here. And when I opened my eyes, you had already pulled out that bottle of oil, and the Lord had directed you to go and lay hands on your mother-in-law. I couldn't see that with my natural eyes. That's what happens when the Spirit of the Lord starts making intercession one with the other. We start becoming in one mind and in one accord together in unison. And Brother Langston, I got so much confidence in your prayers. Lord, it was such a help a couple of weekends ago when we were here and my wife was struggling. She was hurting in pain and the Lord led my sister and Brother Langston to go and lay hands on her at the same time and she's been better since then. And I'm thankful that the Lord has done that for us. And that's how good of a God that we serve. That I have brothers and sisters that when I'm in distress and I was having trouble praying for my wife, I could call on them and these brothers and sisters gathered around her and the Lord led them to lay hands on her and God moved. Over in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, so I want to talk to us today, to those of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, about the word obedience. Obey. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So I want you to know today, make no mistake, no matter how independent you think you are and how much self-willed you think you are, we all serve one of two things. We are either the servant of sin and we do not have the Holy Ghost, or we are the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has then made us free from that bondage of sin. No longer bound by sin in our life. And he's reminding us that, remember, who you obey, who you choose to obey, even if you think it is your own will and your own choosing to do that, if it is not following the Lord, you're following the other person. And you are the servant of whom you follow, whom you obey. So I want to talk to you a little bit about those who do not obey the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow God. Be obedient to God and walk, just like what Brother Greg was talking about, walk in love. Every decision that you make, think about that decision before you make it, before you take that action. Lord, am I walking in love with every decision that I make? Everything that I do, is it helping spread the love of God? Is it getting me closer to that love of God? Because he said, glory to God, that love of God for those of us with the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts. That love of God is shed abroad widely. It's big, it's deep. That love of God is broad and wide in our hearts, and it's given to us by the Holy Ghost. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There are religious institutions that are spread all across this world that will tell you that it is okay to come down and repeat a sinner's prayer and to ask for forgiveness, but then you can go right back into that sin. Not only that you can, but they say you will, that it is impossible that you can live free from sin. And the Word of God is telling you right here, is being very clear to us, don't let any man deceive you. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let any man deceive you with those words that they're lying to you with. They're pleasant to the ears. They make you feel good because you think you can come and feel good just a little bit, that you're okay, and then you can go out and live any way you want to. But that doesn't line up with the Word of God. For because of these things, because remember what the Word of God says, whom ye yield yourselves to obey, that's who you're a servant to. If you're obeying sin, then you are the servant of sin and not the servant of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So when we are disobedient, the end of disobedience is the wrath of God. And the ultimate wrath of God is eternal separation from Him. Separated from Him for eternity. Separated from that only person who is the giver of the only peace you will ever find in this world. He says, "My peace I give unto thee. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth peace, give I unto thee, but I give you my peace." Because in this world, we'll run around and try and find joy and try and find something to distract our minds for just a little bit. But after that distraction is over and we're back in the stillness by ourselves, and it's just us and the good Lord, our mind then begins to go back to, "Lord, I'm without peace, without you." So that is what happens when we are disobedient to the Lord. But I want to read to you now, because I told you I came on business for the King today. I came on business for the King, and I came expecting God to make good on every single one of His promises that are in the Word of God. And I want to ask you, children of God today, have you come out today knowing that God will make good on those promises? Has He ever let you down? Has He ever failed you? He might be slow sometimes in moving, but it's in His time. He hadn't left you. He hadn't forsaken you. He will move in His time. But I've come today expecting God to make good on every single promise that is in this Word of God. Because the Word of God says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. Parker, some guy may come to you and promise you that you're going to be able to play as much baseball this year as you want to be able to play. And he might have made you that promise and built your hopes up and made you all excited about this. But then, when it comes time to make good on that promise, something different may come up, and they're going to sometimes go back on that promise that they made to us. And they won't make good on that promise. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that my Lord has never gone back on a single promise He's ever made to me. Not one single time, sister. Every promise that is in the Word of God, glory to God, is mine to claim. Because, not because I'm good or because I'm special, but simply because I am His child. And because one day I have no longer yielded myself to be a servant of sin, but am a servant of the good Lord. And when I serve Him, I can cling to every single one of the promises that are in the Word of God. They are mine to claim today. And those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, I want to ask you, Lord, do you believe those promises of God? Can you put your faith and your trust in the promises of God that He said He is faithful and just to forgive us of every single one of our past sins? Whatever they are, whatever is out there, whatever the past sin is, it does not matter what the sin is other than blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I don't believe that a single person here that's here seeking for the Holy Ghost, I don't believe you've done that. I don't believe that the Lord would let you feel that drawing power of the Lord if you had blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. But know that every sin that you have ever committed, from this day forward, you can ask for forgiveness of that sin. Not just forgiveness, but a commitment to be obedient to Him, never to go back to that sin again, so that you don't ever have to ask forgiveness of that sin again. The apostles, after Jesus passed away, began to preach the good news of Jesus, and they began to go to the temple to, I think they called it Solomon's Court there in the temple, and began to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus Christ came, lived a sin-free life, was crucified because the people were jealous of Him. And He paid that price for our sin on that cross. He was buried in a grave, laid in that grave for 3 days, and then came forth the only risen Savior in this world. And they began to preach that only through Jesus and only through His blood can men have freedom from sin and no longer be bound by that law of sin, but can walk in newness of life. And He says, behold, old things are passed away. Though that old life is passed away and is gone, and He says, behold, all things are new. And the apostles are preaching there in the temple, and the religious people of the time that didn't believe the truth and the promises of God were offended by what the apostles were preaching, and they came and they threw them in prison for what they were preaching, when they were preaching the truth of God's word. And an angel of the Lord came by in the middle of the night and said, hey, wake up, get up, you're not done. I've got business for you, for the king. You got business for the king. Go back to where they just arrested you at. Go back right there again and keep preaching that good word of God. No matter what they do to you, no matter how they hurt you, no matter what they say about you, go back and keep telling that good news of the kingdom. And they did. They went back. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees got them again and said, This is Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name, in this name, in the name of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." We're to obey the Lord, Sister Sharon, no matter the amount of pain that it brings us in our life. And there will be times when being obedient to the Lord will cause us heartache and pain. It happened to all of the apostles and every child of God that's come before us. And it's going to happen to us. Where being obedient to the Lord will cause us pain. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Obedience. Those of you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, you have a choice today. If you continue going down the path that you're going down and doing your own thing, continuing to follow your own will and your own way, you are being obedient to the flesh and you are a servant to that flesh, but you are not being obedient to the Lord. We've seen what is the end of disobedience to the Lord. It is the wrath of God that will be poured out on the children of disobedience. But I like to tell you the good news. I've got to tell you what is the bad news and what is the truth. But I also love to tell you the good news. And that's why I'm here today, is because I believe the promises of the Lord. And part of that promise is that if I lift him up, he's going to draw all people unto him. I don't have to do anything special. I don't have to do anything miraculous or amazing. All I have to do is continually lift him up in the way that I live, in the way that I talk, in the way that I walk. If I lift him up, his promise, the promise of God, is he will draw people to him. And I've come today, sister, I'm looking. It's time for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. I tell you what I felt on the way up here and how I've been praying for the last little while. I've seen the Lord moving. I've seen him working. I've seen his power. I feel that freedom of the Lord. Brother Langston, Brother Lonnie, I believe the children of God are in unison together behind that one thing, that we want to see somebody make it. We may have differences of opinions about other things, but that's okay. The children of God back then didn't agree on every single thing all the time together. It's not going to happen. But we can be in one mind and one accord in unison together, that we want to see the Lord make good on his promise to pour out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey. So here's the question now. You just keep doing what you're doing, and you're obeying yourself, and you're obeying the sin that is in your life, and you're a servant to that. But how do we obey God? Is it hard to be obedient to the Lord? Is it some mystical combination of certain things? It's simple. And we overcomplicate it. And what I want to do today is give you yet again, this is not something new, We listened to a sermon by my grandfather. We listened to it in the car on the way up here from back in 1993. And it's the same plan of salvation that he was talking then, that the same plan of salvation that was preached to him by Brother Alf, and the exact same plan of salvation that's being preached, thank God, that was preached on that first day of Pentecost. And so we're going to jump over to Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in one mind, and they were all of one mind together. So children of God, what I'm asking you, pray right now and continue praying from now until the end of this service that the Lord would send a unity among the children of God that the devil and his demons can't get through. Because when the children of God are together and in unison and that hedge of protection is put around us, that devil can't reach in. His demons that are trying to reach in there and steal away that seed that's being planted. Because there was a sower who went forth to sow a seed one time, and as he went forth to sow, some of the seed went by the wayside and it never caught root. Some of the seed went down into some stony ground and then it sprung up just a little bit and then it withered away. But then there was some seed that before it could even get to where it was going, the fowls of the air came by and snatched it up. Children of God, the Word of God in its purity is trying to come today to those that need the Holy Ghost. And I'm begging of you, pray that we don't let the fowls of the air come by because of our minds being scattered. Get our minds together, focused on one single goal. Lord, send us the Word of God so that it'll go down into their hearts and that they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of God. Pray that God's promises will be made manifest and will be made true among us today, because we're looking for Him to make good on those promises. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when we see the Holy Ghost given in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, 10, and 19, we see that as the Holy Ghost is given, the evidence that a person has died to that life of sin, no longer to go back to that life of sin again, and has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, with the Holy Ghost, the evidence that they have been sealed is that the Lord will let them speak in that cloven tongue. And if you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost with that evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm here to tell you today there is more to salvation than what somebody has been lying to you about. There is more to this salvation and more to being able to live a servant of the living God. So as the Holy Ghost was first given on that day of Pentecost, they saw people speaking in tongues, but they saw them rejoicing under the power of the Lord so much that they looked and said, what is wrong with these people? The people who were looking on who didn't have the Holy Ghost were looking on and said, what's wrong with these people? They see them rejoicing and shaking under the power of the Lord, and their explanation was a worldly explanation, and they said, surely these people are drunk on some type of new wine. Surely to goodness, they're just drunk and something's wrong with them. So even from the very beginning, the real children of God have been ridiculed for the way that they worshiped God. They've been made fun of, and it looks strange to them that are out there in the world. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the promise being fulfilled. By the prophet Joel, God promised that in those last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Every man, woman in this world, no matter who your ancestry was, doesn't matter who you were related to, everybody now has access to this Holy Ghost. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, those who obey him, his servants, his handmaidens, the ones who do what he says to do, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, when these men that were there heard that word of God, they were pricked in their heart, and they asked Peter, Peter, what must we do to be saved? How can we be obedient servants of the Lord and no longer be obedient to our own sinful flesh? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's the promise? If we repent, and a part of repentance includes faith, I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes. If we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of God is ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and them that are afar off. Brooke, you that even wasn't born into this family, but God has seen in His grace and mercy to put you in this family. Even if you hadn't married into it, you're part of this family. Them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as the Lord will call. He's calling you today. Thank you, Lord. And I want to encourage you, don't reject that call. That little stirring that's in your heart today as He's calling you. Don't reject that call, because it's that promise that He gave to you. He says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the plan of salvation is simple, Aunt Carolyn. We overcomplicate it. Dustin, those of us that have grown up in holiness all our lives, and we've heard the Word of God preached to us over and over and over, we overcomplicate these things and try to make it more difficult than it has to be. The plan of salvation is simple. It is very, very simple. First, you must believe. Over in Hebrews 11:16, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. If we want to no longer obey the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and we want to obey our Heavenly Father, We cannot come to Him in obedience without first believing on Him. And I believe that pretty much everybody that's here believes that there is a God in heaven. If you don't, that's the very first step, is that you have to believe that there is a God in heaven, and that that God had a plan for your salvation in sending His only begotten sin-free Son to die for your sin. You must first believe that He is, that Jesus is, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father except through Him. There are a bunch of ways out there in this world, Parker. There are all kinds of ways that'll let you find something that you think you want to believe, and they'll tell you it's the truth. There are all kinds of ways out there, but there is only one way. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently, continuously, not just one time, but continuously coming up before the Lord, putting it up before His throne, continuously seeking Him, continuously knocking at that door, continuously coming to Him. And there's so many times that we, even after we receive the Holy Ghost, Sister Rachel, I struggle with this, that there's so many times I can believe that the Lord will do it for that other person. God bless. Because I have faith in that other person. Because I have immense faith in Aunt Doshi's prayers, and I believe that the Lord hears and answers her prayers and will make good on His promises for her. But when it comes time for me to pray and to believe that in faith, that old accuser of our brethren who's standing there lobbing darts at me, trying to make me doubt. It happens to us even after we've received the Holy Ghost and we're down here praying for the sick or praying for anything. Those arrows of doubt keep coming to us. And Brother Greg talked about it. That shield of faith is what we have. Since we've received the Holy Ghost, Brother Langston, God has equipped us with that armor of God. And part of that armor is that shield of faith. And that shield that he's talking about isn't just a little bitty Captain America size shield. This shield of faith was one of the Roman shields that goes from your feet just about all the way up to your head, that you just stand right there behind it. God bless. All you got to do is hold on to your faith. Hold on to the faith that God, you have not changed. You have not, your word has not changed. You are the same God who gave the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the same God who gave my parents the Holy Ghost, the same God that back in 1994, April 25th, you gave me the Holy Ghost and you hadn't changed. And I'm standing on that word of God in faith and I'm just hiding behind it. I don't even have to go out on the offensive and fight off the devil. All I got to do is stand right there behind it, and that shield of faith takes the arrows for me and deflects them. As long as I hold my faith in the Word of God and in His promises that He's going to make true on every single promise in that Word of God, if I have faith in it, if I choose not to have faith in it, and I choose to get out ahead of the Lord, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. But if I choose to stay behind my shield of faith, then I can believe that He is not just the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, but I can believe that He is the rewarder of me when I diligently seek Him. Of me and of you. Every single one of you here, that promise of God is true to you today. And do you have faith? was talking to Johnny on the way here, and I told him before we called Uncle Lonnie, I said, I believe that you can receive the Holy Ghost today. And then just a few minutes later, I called Uncle Lonnie and let him know, hey, the Lord's sending me up here. And he said, who's with you? I said, Ashley and Johnny. He said, well, good. I'm glad Johnny's coming. He said, but when the Lord, when he puts forth that effort, maybe the Lord will just give him the Holy Ghost. And I said, Uncle Lonnie, I'm going to put you on speakerphone. I want you to tell him that. And I put him on speakerphone. And Uncle Lonnie, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it'll all be established. Thank the good Lord, you said just exactly what I had already said to him. And we come expecting him, expecting the Lord to make good on his promise. That day that I received the Holy Ghost, I had been praying hard for a couple of days, and I walked into the church that night, and Sister Tina Worley, Kevin's wife, came up to me, and I will never forget it. And she asked me, she said, is tonight going to be the night? Is tonight going to be the night that you receive the Holy Ghost? And I really don't even remember what I told her. But ever as soon as she went away, I got to thinking, Lord, yeah. Yeah. Tonight can be the night that I receive the Holy Ghost. And I can go away a child of God forevermore changed. Those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to know that every single one of us children of God came out today knowing that the promises of God are true. And at the point that you believe and repent of your sin, never to go back to it again, that promise of God is real. And He will give you the Holy Ghost. Have you come today? And even if you hadn't come today, from right now, can you say in your heart, devil, I'm not going to believe those lies anymore. I'm no longer going to believe the lies of the devil. And I'm going to believe that your promise is real to me. This is my promise, not just my daddy's promise or my mama's promise. This is my promise that I'm clinging to for me. And I'm going to hold on to it in faith, and as the devil lobs those arrows, I'm just going to stand behind that shield of faith and let you do what you promised you would do, and that you said for every temptation you would make a way for an escape, that you would be there with me. So we know that to come to the Lord, we must first believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I want you today to believe that. As you come down here to this altar, don't let the devil lie to you. Believe the Word of God that He will give you the Holy Ghost when you have faith in Him and you repent. And what is it that we need to repent of? It's simple. Sin. It's not complicated. Sin. Disobedience to the God. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Again, something Brother Greg mentioned, that crown of life. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So be real clear, just the temptation is not the sin. We will be presented with temptation from now until the day that we die. It's going to be presented to us. But the presentation of the temptation in our life is not the sin. Every man is tempted, but when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, when that temptation is put in front of us, and then you begin to think on that temptation and dwell on that temptation instead of dwelling on the escape. Because he promised there would be a way for an escape made. Instead of dwelling and looking at the escape, you dwell on the temptation, and the lust begins to grow in your heart and it entices you. Then when lust hath conceived, when it is accomplished in your life, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I believe by the word of God, we can easily classify all sin into three different categories that how it will be presented to you. And these are the things to be looking out for in the way that sin will be presented to you. 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, everything that is out there in the world that is not of God, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, he that is obedient to the will of God, abideth forever. The plan of salvation is simple. It is obedience to what God has called you to do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love the Lord today, keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to bear. The plan of salvation is not hard. It's not hard to receive the Holy Ghost. Uncle Lonnie, what's hard is dying to our own self. Dying to that self-will of wanting to do things our own way. And wanting to have our own will about things. There's a, Brother Melvin would tell, he said, even a little ant has the desire to live. You see a little ant running around on your sink, and you go and you're going to put your finger on that ant and you're going to squish that ant and kill it. It's naturally going to run away. The natural man does not want to die. And that's what you're up against. You're up against your natural man. And that is what's keeping you from receiving the Holy Ghost, is not crucifying that natural man in faith and in repentance, asking God to forgive you of that sin, committing never again to go back to that sin, and dying to those things and being raised again with him in newness of life. A child of God then, no longer a child of the devil. Because as long as you're not a child of God and sin has been imputed into your life, right now where you stand is a child of the devil. That's the ugly truth of the matter that I have to share with you. But the other side of that coin is that today you no longer have to be the servant of sin. Today you can leave a child of the God with that promise being made real in your life. Brother Lonnie, I think I'm done. Is there anything else that y'all want to say before we let them pray? Y'all want to say anything? If y'all will get a song, don't overcomplicate it. I came on business for the king today. And king's got a plan for your life. He does. He has a plan for your life. And for that plan to be realized in your life, you must first seek him with everything you got. And he ain't gonna take halfway. He's not gonna let some ball game be more important to you than he is. He wants it all. He's got to be the most important thing in your life. And then He promises He will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you can leave here today a child of the King, and you and I can share a birthday together. Man, how good would that be? I'd love to be able to share a birthday with somebody else and say, call you up one day and say, hey, you remember 4 or 5 years ago when the Lord gave you the Holy Ghost? I'm so glad you're still living for the Lord today. Aren't you glad that you got the Holy Ghost? Lord, I want you to be able to say that. How good it is to be a child of the living God. Sister Tina and those, that joy of the Lord, even in the midst of sorrow and even in the midst of heartache and difficult situations, that joy of the Lord can just roll up and down the avenues of your soul. And you know that some people may make fun of you when we begin to shout under the power of the Lord, but I know that when it comes time for judgment, they would kick me out of the way for my place in line, because I know who I serve today. He is a risen Savior. Glory to God. He is a glorious Savior, and I know who I serve today. Glory to God. And you can be His servant today too. Y'all come ahead, and this altar is open. Glory to God.